News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events across the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur and in today's episode, we embark on a journey into the rich cultural heritage of Arunachal Pradesh's indigenous Idu tribe. We'll also bring you a report from Tripura on the success of the PM Kusum Yojana, which is working towards the welfare of farmers. Additionally, we'll explore how Nagaland is steadily transforming its education landscape under the National Education Policy, NEP 2020. But first, let's listen to a special segment, Shtasha Interacts, wherein our reporter Shtasha takes you into the lives of students, professionals and locals from the Northeast living in Delhi, from navigating the city's fast pace to overcoming cultural challenges and finding a second home. Their stories reflect resilience, personal growth and hope. Stay tuned for fresh perspectives, real experiences and powerful conversations from the heart of the metro.
Namaste, this is Tasha Joshi for Northeast Diary. Today I'm at Deer Park, Hoskhas, and I'm joined with a very kind person. His name is Malim and he belongs to Manipur. Hi Malim.
Hello everyone, my name is Wahingbam Malim Nanda Singh and I'm from Manipur. I recently graduated and I've been living in Delhi for around 3.5 years.
All right. Just to let the listeners know, so I entered the park and I was looking forward to meeting, you know, people belonging to the northeastern states and talking to them. And he was the first person and he has his friends with him who were getting late. But this man stayed here and he's been talking to me ever since. So Malim, you say that, you know, 3.5 years here in Delhi. Do you miss Manipur?
Sometimes I do. Mostly regarding, you know, my family. That's all. Like,
okay.
I have friends, a lot of friends from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have company here in Delhi.
Yeah.
So what I do miss the most is my family okay. And my relatives.
When was the last time you saw them?
I think 7-8 months back.
So Delhi, talking about the capital, what have you most liked about this place? Like it could be the food, the monuments.
I like a lot of things about Delhi. Mm-hmm. First that comes to my mind is the amount of freedom I have here. I think there's a lot of freedom regarding, you know, your...
The things that we're able to do?
Yeah, the things that I'm able to do here.
Right.
Which would be really problematic back in Manipur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could I have a few examples? Traveling late, maybe?
Yeah, traveling late. Going out with your friends, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot of stigma there and a lot of stereotypes there that, you know. Mm. Especially for, you know, girls also, I would like to mention, you know. I come from a very small town,
mm-hmm.
you know. When I come to metropolitan city, there is a lot of freedom and liberty. And, you know, you have a space of your own. You have, you know, you have your mind as your own space.
Yeah, and people around.
You are able to explore.
Yeah.
You see a lot of different, you know, people. You know, from there, you get a lot of perspective, a lot of opinions, a lot of way of life that you can, you know, experience.
Yeah.
So I think that is what I meant by freedom.
Yeah.
And I get that, you know, in Delhi.
Understandable. It's really nice to hear that Delhi was able to, you know, serve a great experience to you. What about the food?
I think it's very oily.
Oh.
First comment is that.
Attack to chole bhature, I see.
Yeah, it's really oily. It's really, really oily.
Okay.
But yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But does it beat the food that I get in Manipur? No, obviously.
Absolutely
not.
There's no match.
It's manageable,
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
Okay. And what about the monuments out here? Have you been to?
I have been to, I think, every monument. Humayun Tomb, Lal Qila, Safdarjung Tomb.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You name it, I've been there.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm a history student, so I like them.
Oh, understandable.
Obviously, I had to like them.
Yes, you had to. further talking about, because you have passed out from, you know, all the 3 years in DU and all of your journey in the Northeastern societies and people around you belong from the same community and all, what would you say to a student, you know, who has just flown all the way from any Northeastern state to Delhi, you know, here to study and they have different goals as into, you know, to see the whole city and to experience different things, what would be something that you'd want them to know?
Just try to enjoy everything.
Okay.
Just explore everything and anything you can.
Right.
Because you'll not get the chance to do that in any other city.
Yeah.
And like enjoy Delhi, because I think when you start living in Delhi,
mm-hmm.
you will not find joy in mm-hmm. any other city. There is nothing like Delhi.
Oh my God.
I've been to a lot of cities.
Right.
There's nothing like Delhi. Like Delhi is, bhai, bahut garmi hai yahan pe. Theek hai. Bahut sare log hai.
Bahut sardi bhi hai.
Bahut sardi bhi hai. Theek hai. And people do a lot of good things too. Yeah. But there is no other city like Delhi.
Yeah.
I can say this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to tell, maybe to the whole nation, to the people of Manipur, to the people of Delhi?
One thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately these days is that people really need to be empathetic. I'm not saying this in a very wrong way, but I don't really see, you know, that much of empathy
mm-hmm.
in people
mm-hmm.
here in Delhi. Also back in Manipur also, I think people have, I think, you know, when you live in a very competitive world,
yeah.
like, you know, now people have really become less empathetic, you know, and
absolutely.
I think people have to be able to understand, you know, how the other person is feeling, and to be able to be in their shoes and just
sense
understand, you know,
through,
sense
yeah.
what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something that people need to.
That's yeah. one wise thing that you've yeah. said, Marlon.
In a very general sense, I'm saying it,
mm-hmm.
People need to be empathetic, and I think this also comes because I have personally dealt with a lot of mental health issues and mental
right,
illness.
Right.
So I think one core, you know, quality that, you know, that can really help you with mental health is people being empathetic to you. You know,
right.
when you talk to people, if people are empathetic to you, you can, you know, really heal yourself. And you can really heal yourself if you're empathetic to others.
You know, you've dealt with mental health issues.
Yes.
And right now, you sitting here, being out and up and about, you know, giving answers with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
It's truly a statement.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. really brave of you.
I think I won't say I'm able to make it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a journey. And
yeah.
you heal every day. There's
yeah.
no, like, certain point that where you say, you know, I have healed properly. I've
yeah.
healed all the way through.
Yeah.
It's a journey. And I think it's mainly because of the friends I have, and
mm-hmm.
I have a very supportive girlfriend, I would say. She's really sweet, and my family, and then, yes, I also want to give credit to my, I have a group of cousins
oh.
back in my home from
right.
my mother's side.
Yeah.
And they are really helpful. I think the way they have healed me in so many ways that they don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes, I think support of the family, friends, cousins, or your partners, I think
yeah.
it's very important.
Thank you so much,
thank you
Malum.
So much. Thank you so much.
Dear listeners, it was a quiet and humid evening that I went to the park in hopes of having a decent conversation with someone. And there I was, sitting amidst the cawing of the crows and the chirping of the birds, having this wonderful conversation with Malum. It was so good to hear about his takes on Delhi's culture, food and monuments, how much he adored his cousins, and how he could not take off his smile while talking about his girlfriend. And honestly, what got me thinking was his emphasis on being empathetic as people, how the survival of the fittest mentality that most of us have is letting us down as humans because we are becoming less kind and generous and empathetic in general. And further talking about mental illnesses, I'd just like to say that to anyone going through any sort of mental illness, hang in there, buddy. You got this. Do reach the government's mental illness helpline number, which is 14416. At the end, I just wanted to put forth that I really enjoyed having this conversation with Malum, and I hope that you enjoyed listening to it as well. Thank you so much. Signing off, Tasha Joshi.
There are so many parts that I have hidden and denied and lost. There are so many ways that I have cut off my nose to spite my face. There are so many colors that I still try to hide while I paint. And there are so many tunes that I secretly come along and invite these parts out of
As the National Education Policy 2020 marks its fifth anniversary, states across India are reflecting on its impact. In Nagaland, the policy has set in motion a series of reforms aimed at creating a more inclusive and modern education system. Our Kohima correspondent Mary has the report.
Nagaland is making steady progress in transforming its education landscape thanks to focused efforts under the National Education Policy 2020. Kelika Kenye, Deputy Mission Director of Samagra Shiksha and Nodal Officer for NEP, highlighted improvements in key areas like the Performance Grading Index and the Parag Rashtriya Sarvekshan.
As per the Performance Grading Index, PGI report 2023-24, where Government of India assess the overall performance of states and UTs in education using 73 parameters. As compared to 2022-23 report, Nagaland has shown incremental progress in our education. And not only that, to assess the health of education, during 2024, the Parag survey report shows children are showing positive improvement in learning outcome. Then NEP 2020 set the target of covering 50% of secondary school under vocational education. So in this regard, our state have made a good progress. So far, 57% of the total government secondary schools are covered under vocational education.
Mr. Kenye acknowledged that while progress is evident, challenges like bridging the digital divide and upgrading school infrastructure remain top priorities. Looking ahead, he emphasized that full implementation of NEP 2020 will empower the youth, boost human capital, and open up better employment opportunities.
Implementation of the new education policy 2020 in true spirit by all stakeholders can truly lead to empowering our upcoming generation, improve productivity in our human capital, thereby leading to increase in job creation and employability of our youth. It can be a game changer. It can bring about sustainability in our economy. Today we are talking about attaining Viksit Bharat by 2047. So if all the stakeholders work together, we can truly empower our upcoming generation true transformation of education.
Marking the fifth anniversary of the NEP 2020, Union Minister Dharmendra Pradhan virtually dedicated 10 PM tree schools and laid foundation stones for 23 new hostels in Nagaland. Meanwhile, the Nagaland Education Mission Society, in collaboration with the National Health Mission, organized a mega assessment camp in Kohima for children with special needs as part of the anniversary celebrations. Similar camps are also planned across all districts in phases. From policy to practice, Nagaland is truly showing how focused implementation can drive real change in education. For Notice Diary, this is Mary, Akashvani News, Kohima.
Notice Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in.
Among several centrally sponsored schemes, the Pradhan Mantri Kisan Urja Suraksha Evam Uttan Mahabhiyan, popularly known as PM Kusum Yojana, is creating transformative changes in rural and tribal communities. In the northeastern states of Tripura, the scheme is being credited for significantly uplifting the lives of farmers. Our Agartala correspondent Kunal Shinde brings us a success story.
The Pradhan Mantri Kisan Urja Suraksha Evam Uttan Mahabhiyan, PM Kusum, is a transformative initiative launched in 2019 to ensure guaranteed irrigation for farmers across India. Tripura, like many other states, is witnessing its positive impact. In remote areas with limited access to grid electricity, infertile lands and poor crop yields have long challenged farmers. PM Kusum is addressing this by providing solar-powered irrigation, enabling cultivation across three cycles annually and significantly boosting farmers' incomes. Previously reliant on seasonal rain, many farmers can now farm year-round. Implemented in Tripura by the Tripura Renewable Energy Development Agency, TREDA, under the Ministry of Power and the state government, the scheme offers solar irrigation pumps with up to 90% subsidy. TREDA Director General Devabrata Shukladas stated that over 5,000 farmers in the state have already benefited. As per the subsidy ratio, the central government covers 50% of the cost and the state government contributes 30%. In case of Tripura, it has been enhanced to 40%, and farmers pay just 10% of the cost. The state government also funds borewell digging up to 70 meters. The widespread reach of the scheme can be gauged as out of 19,000 applications, 10,000 have been sanctioned. Most are from aspirational tribal blocks like Ganganagar, Silachari and Kalyanpur. Farmers with non-arable land can set up grid-connected solar plants and sell electricity to Tripura State Electricity Corporation Limited under 25-year agreement. Existing grid-connected pumps are being solarized, cutting reliance on diesel and conventional power sources. As solar modules come with a 25-year operational life and include 5 years of free maintenance, as a reason, excess electricity can be sold back to the grid. The PM Kusum scheme is not only empowering farmers with reliable irrigation and improved earnings, but is also paving the way for cleaner, sustainable agriculture. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Agartala.
Today we are taking a fascinating journey to the heart of Dibang Valley, where the Idu Mishmis call home. These remarkable people have built a lifestyle deeply intertwined with nature, embodying sustainability in their beliefs and practices aiming at preserving biodiversity. Interestingly, the Idu Mishmi language is one of the least spoken languages globally, as recorded by UNESCO. Join our correspondent Jonomo Rando as he takes you through the distinctive attire, hairstyles and the rich cultural heritage of the Idu Mishmis.
The Idus are living in the hill and mountainous tract and foothills of Dibang Valley, Lower Dibang Valley and some part of plain areas of Lohit district also settled as a permanently. The origin of the tribe is still in a mystery. However, it is speculated and believed that the Idus have might came from the East Asia and adjoining Mekong and Yangtze Valley, because all of them were Mongoloid tribe and linguistically Tibeto-Burman speaking. Their material culture is based on bamboo. They live in bamboo houses. Most of their household articles and implements are made of bamboo. They also practicing shifting method of cultivation, rice beer, dress themselves in scanty clothes. But in olden days, during the time of our forefathers were separated, that the Idus have been migrated from the border easternmost provinces of at present China. The Idus have been dispersed due to various features, the population explosion and consequent movement of tribes, intertribal feuds, natural calamities and quest for better land, change in subsistence occupations from food gathering to agriculture. Consequently, on this dispersal, the main group to which Idu belonged was scattered to different directions. The Idus of Arunachal Pradesh is one of the major tribes having some distinctive cultural characteristics of their own. Their society is governed by a council of elders, popularly called Abela, which is of different status. The Abela is responsible for keep maintain of peace and harmony among the members of the Idu society, and also empowered to settle disputes of any sort with the help of their customary laws. The verdict given by the Abela is usually be honored by both the parties. In this, an attempt has been made to record this unwritten verbal customary laws of the Idus with a view to give an idea about the administrative norms and procedures of smooth management of the society.
Anna ninga naba etiwe bagalaba
nana tangana ya kesiwe bagalaba
inja take bane ke gine iganane kerufi po pago eta tendo higomo hanji tendo nagene chukute hina hone hae telo nagene
Indigenous weaving system of Idus. Idu women do not use elaborate garments. Their dress consists of only two pieces of skirt, thuma and thui, which reaches from the waist down to the ankle. Like their women, Idu men do not use elaborate garments. A loincloth protects his modesty. The portion of upper part of his body, a sleeveless shirt of worn, which is woven from cotton or wool. All women know how to produce apparel for themselves, for the family in their small waist looms. There is no fixed frame and no reel, but an interesting feature of the fabric is that only the warp is visible on the surface and very compact and thick. Weaving keeps women occupied in her leisure hours. Fibers are extracted from malu, a nettle plant, and nabe, a small shrub. These are collected from the jungle and dried. The fibers are extracted and made into balls and then put into hot water. The ash of burnt wood is added to it and stirred with a ladle. The yarn is then taken out, washed, dried, and then put into the loom. Cotton yarns are all imported as cotton does not grow in the valley. Nowadays, yarns are available in the market in a variety of colors and at reasonable prices. The indigenous method of extraction of weaving is totally given up in the present context of Dibang Valley and Lower Dibang Valley districts. During these days, the Idus are adapted for their looms from the plants, like the dyes are made from plants found in the jungle. Only three colors are made: red, green, and black. The dye is always prepared in jungle and kept secret. The color combination in short is black, red, and green. Red and black are used in diamond designs. There are different varieties of shirts which are woven in the portable loom. A tonde is a very costly garment from made of wool. A tomazo is a sleeveless shirt made with a mixture of wool and cotton yarn. A tolu, a half sleeve shirt, is made from the yarn extracted from nabembo, a small shrub plant, and mixed with cotton yarn, and also feel very warm. Halu is a blanket made from malu and nabembo fibers. It is very warm and meets the requirement of bleak winter climate. In the modern days, the development of socio-economic is one of the pivotal role, and advancement of scientific technology is impact on everywhere. Since then, Idu Mishmi have concentrated on agriculture, but slowly it became a changing now. In the urban areas, they have established a good business in different areas, and secondly, literacy rate is increasing day by day, and most of the educated unemployed youths, they have been engaged under self-employment scheme. In the rural areas, the villagers still have habits of barn and sledge shifting cultivation and their own jhumland areas. Though the rural life is not fully changed and yet to come across a lot of things has to do. In the sight of social changes, a lot of reformation has come in view of child marriage, marriage system, and fine system of punishment. In the development of road communication, we need accessible master plan for connectivity of town to town and village levels. Though all Idu Mishmi are not lettered, but they know the dignity and magnanimous of their outside people.
Now enjoy the heartfelt melody of Badal, a soulful track that celebrates the beauty and grandeur of Meghalaya, brought to you by the talented composer and emerging vocalist Nitin. So here we go.
सुहानी बादल का राजा है, बादल की रानी। से घूम के आए मेघालय घूमो जरा इसमें है कल कल का मजा मेघालय घूमो जरा इसमें
And with this, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week, same day, same time, for more inspiring stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and take very good care of yourself.
Program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.